Good evening and welcome to the Stone Age Gamer Podcast for the week of January 22nd, 2016. I am Chris Randazzo and I am your host. With me tonight are Geostellar impersonator Dean DeFalco.
You may be wondering why I've gathered you here today.
And unnecessary RPG Dan Ryan.
Spoilers, man! Shit!
Only if you know. It's Mega Man month here at Geekade, and we are kicking off the Stone Age Gamers 2-week part of the celebration with some things we genuinely don't enjoy. Is there a possible future wherein all robots will have flowing blonde ponytails? Find out now. This is the Stone Age Gamers. Hello again, everyone, and welcome to episode 83 of the Stone Age Gamer Podcast, and welcome to Geekade's Mega Man Month. All month long, we've been celebrating the Blue Bomber for no particular reason, and it's time for the Stone Age Gamer Podcast to join in on the fun, starting right the F now. That said, this isn't going to be a celebration so much as a whatever the opposite of celebration is, because today we'll be talking about Mega Man games we don't like so much. But first, what Mega Man games do you dislike? Are you still scarred by the Mega Man MS-DOS games? Was the Mega Man in Captain N the Game Master actually an exiled member of the Lollipop Guild? We want to know! Email us at mail@geekade.com and let us know what you think of our show, what you think of naming your creations after musical terms, what topics you would like us to discuss in the future, etc., and so forth, and so on, and other words that mean the same thing are called synonyms. We always want to hear from you, the listener. But back to business. Dan, I would like for you to start us off. What is your Mega Man game of distaste?
Oh, man. So, boy, the Mega Man X series really just, I mean, such a high note to start.
Oh, yeah.
And then, holy fucking Moses, did it just keep getting worse. And and perhaps no more. I mean, X7, which I'm sure we're going to talk about, but perhaps no more did the tomfoolery of Capcom exist than in Mega Man X Command Mission. Because
tomfoolery is quite the nice word.
The chicanery.
Certainly is. The chicanery.
I would go with shitfuckery sounds a little more proper to explain this game.
What the fresh fuck were they thinking? oh, man. So Mega Man X Command Mission is a role-playing game set in the Mega Man X universe, starring X and Zero and Axel, or Aquel, if you're a fan of Beverly Hills Cop, which I am. Really fucking takes that game to a whole different place if you read it in Bronson Pinchot's voice. Aquel! What the fuck? Anyway.
Yeah, but he never gets the minigun, so.
No, he does. Evening, officers. Oh, God. It's just, so, it's not the worst Mega Man game ever made, but it just, there's no point. Because Mega Man is about pew pew and run and jump and shoot and slide and disappearing blocks and fighting the bosses in whatever fucking order you want to and all of that. And instead, they put you in a linear story with an obscene amount of random encounters. It's like random encounter, battle. Okay, I'm going to take up. Oh, fuck. It's another random encounter. Okay, that's all right, done. So I got to get over this. Oh, God damn it. Here's another. Like, it's every other fucking step, it felt like. You were fighting. And the battle system itself was, it's an RPG. It's okay. But, oh, God, just the story, because this game was not a direct sequel and because it was not the start of something new, it just kind of exists. There's Force Metal, because that's a thing that they came up with, and people are fighting over it. And then there's some shitty characters that get
like
involved.
Axel.
Like, I hate this game. I really do, because I wanted to like it. I was like, Mega Man RPG, like,
that could work.
That could work.
That could work. You could do something with that.
But then there's a helper character called Spider, and he wears...
Is he a greaser?
No,
he doesn't smoke a pack of Marlboros and roll them up in his t-shirt?
He should. He uses playing cards as weapons. He's Gambit, so you got him. And then Steel Massimo, get it like mass because he's big.
I thought he was from Massachusetts.
Well, that too. A fat fuck.
It's both, actually. He fights with an axe. He's actually kind of cool looking. But then there's not Dan Marino, just Marino. Just a female Reploid that's in here. She just kind of exists. She's kind of a healer. She just sucks. And then Cinnamon.
Not Ken Marino?
Like, yeah.
She doesn't come in and say, I want to dip my balls in it?
That would be amazing. Say the line. You guys know what I'm going to say. No, we
you
don't.
You know what I'm going to say.
No, we don't. And then there's...
We could make this game so much better.
It would be so much better. And then there's Cinnamon. Because we take female characters seriously in our video games. There's a nurse in a sexy nurse outfit named fucking Cinnamon.
At least it doesn't start with like S-I-N.
Oh, God.
So she's like a nurse stripper.
She named her Mahogany.
Mahogany.
Have you guys played this game?
For about 5 minutes.
Right? Like,
this was actually part of a 1-2 punch. I don't even remember exactly the time frame in which these came out, but it was like there were two. I played it on GameCube briefly, and then I played very briefly the opposite situation where they took the Mega Man Battle Network RPG type games and made a side scrolling platformer out of them. Which also
they were
sucked
both
balls.
Equally terrible. God,
yeah, that was bad too.
It was so bad.
That was really bad.
I was like, all right, this seems like a good idea, and you get into it, and you can shoot like one pellet per minute.
Yeah,
it was just bad. It was like middling, the most middling thing ever. It was distastefully average.
Yeah, that
which is kind of how I felt about X Command Mission. Just like,
yeah, it's there. It's not, like I said, it's not the worst game I've ever played, by far. There's nothing inherently awful about this game. I mean, minus the random encounters. Those are so frequent.
Yeah, that's just shitty.
It's so frequent. And, like, the fact that it's a Mega Man game and I can't pick the order that I want to, you know, fight these guys in, it picks the order for me. But the graphics are gorgeous in this game. To give it its one high point, the graphics are awesome. I really like the way this game looks. It's got a very cartoony style about it, very anime inspired, if you will. But that's really about it. Like, it's so by the numbers as far as an RPG is concerned, and it's kind of surprising because part of the development team had worked on the Breath of Fire series, and while those are not my favorite RPGs, they're way better than this.
Yeah.
You know?
I wish I knew what went so wrong when they were making this game, because it was like, I don't know, it seemed like a good idea, but...
I think there's a good idea in here somewhere, but the regular part of the game, like the walking around the levels part, needed to be more action-oriented. The battle system, you know, it's fine. It's not a huge deal. But the regular part of the level, like, there's nothing there. You're just walking around what seems like empty hallway after empty hallway, but with random encounters. There's no enemies on the level. So it's just very bland. It's just boring. I mean, it takes about 10 to 12 hours to beat, so, like, that's good. At least it's over quick.
That's not even like RPG length, though. That's
no, yeah. It's really not. Like it's a bunch of half baked ideas. It is decidedly average.
Well, I mean, when you think about it, this was kind of at the end of Mega Man X's lifespan because there was this X8, and then I think that was it. Unless you count the thing they did on the PSP, Maverick Hunter, which in its own right was decent, but still.
Was an attempted reboot, more or less.
Yeah. I mean, I wanted this game to be really cool. I am a huge Mega Man fan, and I was like, all right, sweet. Like, this looks really good and whatever, but no. No, no. I mean, just watch a playthrough of it. Yeah, this is
don't
not...
watch a playthrough. Don't spend 11 hours of your life watching that.
Well, and like I was doing a little bit of research earlier today, and there's some YouTube videos of all the cutscenes. So in this 10-hour game, an hour and 40 minutes of it is taken up by cutscenes. So, you know, that's something.
Down to 9 hours.
So, yeah, Mega Man X Command Mission. I just, oh, man, don't understand it.
Well, let's see. That was 2004. X8 was 2005. Yeah.
You got a demo of X8 when you got Command Mission on the PS2.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was some sort of, because I played this on the PS2, there was some sort of Game Boy Advance link cable chicanery that you could do with the GameCube version.
Really?
Yeah, it was something like, I believe if
you... Might have been with Battle Network?
No, this was, I'm pretty sure, like, it gave you access to a map where you could find some secret stuff that you wouldn't be able to see otherwise. Yeah, like nothing to write home about, certainly. Just ugh. Just boo. Boo this game.
Oh yeah, it's like a radar screen.
Yeah.
That does
stuff. That's what I needed.
Like I said, I played it on PS2, but
Hey, did you know that the frequency of enemy encounters is higher in the GameCube version?
Oh, is it? No, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it was so much so that they had to make a note of it.
God damn it. That's can't impressive. Imagine.
It does run at a higher frame rate and loads faster than the PS2 version.
I found
version.
That impressive.
Well, son of a bitch. Boy, what a, let me bust out my GameCube. Because I think I
Let's
have
get
a
right
copy
on top
of this.
Of that shit. Jesus.
Dude,
I
we're going to do a fucking marathon live stream of Mega Man X Command Mission.
All right.
I'll sit at home and play my Zelda CDI games while you guys do that. Then we can all commit ritual suicide when we're done.
Yeah, that'd be about the end of it.
Geekade Seppuku. Mmm. Yum.
Oh, farts.
Yeah, so all right. Boo. Boo this game. That's... Like I said, boo.
That was a good call. I hadn't thought about that game until you had told me that that's the one you wanted to talk about. Like, I just completely forgot it existed. And I feel that I was better off for it.
I feel that you were.
All right, I'll go next. The game I'm choosing is Mega Man 8, or as the game says, Mega Man 8!
I was about to do that. I'm very happy you did.
Yeah, that's one of the things I don't like about this game. This one came out on original PlayStation and Sega Saturn back in 1997. And I remember being pretty stoked about it because the back of the box and whatnot looked really neat. And I loved classic Mega Man games. We had gotten a bunch of, you know, X games and whatnot. It was like kind of taking a lot of the headspace there, and getting a new proper mainline series Mega Man game was pretty exciting. And I remember firing it up, and there was this anime cutscene that looked like so incredibly cool. These two robots fighting in space. And it was just like, it sounded like anime. It looked like anime. And it was just one of these things. You didn't see that kind of stuff in your video games before that. It was still really, what's the word I'm looking for? Novel to see full motion anime in a video
was,
game.
That was still the late 90s when that came out, right? Or was it?
97.
Ooh, yeah.
And so that cutscene happens, and then it transitions to the next cutscene. And it looks real nice, and then people start talking. You can't even call them voice actors. First off, this is one of my biggest pet peeves. As anyone who has listened to the show regularly knows, one of my biggest pet peeves is when people mispronounce things. It's extremely angering when the game itself mispronounces a name. Like, Mega Man, in his extremely girlish voice, says, "Hey, Bass, why must we fight like this?"
It's just unacceptable.
Rock and roll. Get it? Bass and treble. It's not bass and treble. It's not a fish and treble. It's bass and treble.
What are you saying? I don't understand.
The character's name Treblay? Is not yes, Treblay and Bass. Bass and Tuna. For fuck's sake, game. So first, Mega Man's voice, I'm already like kind of itching a little bit at that, cuz it's like, wow, that's really screechy. This is some Son Goku shit right here. And then we get to the next scene where Dr. Light, aka Elmer Fudd, shows up.
Oh god, so bad.
And I, if you have not seen this, please know that I am not exaggerating when I say that he sounds like Elmer Fudd. He actually says Dr. Wiwi. It hurts so fucking bad. So fucking bad. So you get past this cutscene, which admittedly looks really neat. Roll eventually speaks, and Roll has a deeper voice than Mega Man. Yes.
Because why not?
So you start up the game. Yeah, exactly. Why
puberty.
Not?
Puberty.
Yeah, sure. We'll call it that. Robo-puberty. Robo-puberty. So we get to the beginning of the game, and it has a neat art direction. It's a little bit more... It's a little over-detailed, but... That'll definitely be something I touch on in a minute. But when you play this first stage, you get this new power that Mega Man has. And that new power is a fucking soccer ball.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't understand why.
Because Mega Man soccer was amazing.
It was. You better believe Mega Man soccer is not on this list, because Mega Man soccer was fucking cool. But this power-up is not fucking cool. Mega Man did not need a soccer ball. It doesn't even make any sense. He shoots a soccer ball out of his Mega Buster that drops to the ground, which he then kicks places.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Why not just shoot the soccer ball in the direction you want it
to
go?
No, Chris, you misunderstand. In other countries, soccer is called football, not shoot it out of your Mega Buster ball. So what else could he have done but drop and kicked it? Football.
Chris, he shoots lemons, not grapes. It was purple, wasn't it? I think it was purple. Pretty sure it was purple.
The soccer ball was purple.
Exactly.
Yes.
He shoots lemons, not grapes. He needed to kick it because he can't be shooting grapes. He's not shooting grape man. He's shooting lemon man.
Fuck.
There was some intern who was banging the boss's daughter who was like, look, yeah. I made his leg move. Let's do a soccer ball thing.
Mega Man should kick things. You know what else? He should also swim. You know all the water mechanics that we've established in every Mega Man game ever?
Fuck it.
He should swim now. and so Mega Man swims. fuck. Yeah, this is all just shit in the intro level. Then you get to the actual stage select, and it looks... I mean, this is a minor quibble that it doesn't look like the old stage select screens, but it looks nothing like the old stage select screens. And all the robot masters are so incredibly over-designed.
I'm Clown Man.
Yeah, the voices. The fucking voices that attach with them. Like, Clown Man's one of the designs I actually don't mind.
The design is
he,
good.
Like, has the stretchy
the
arms.
Voice is bad.
But he, like, I'm Clown Man! And, fuck. Everything is so over-designed. Like, the Search Man has two fucking heads. Swordman disconnects in the middle and floats around. It's like there is a brilliant simplicity and a congruity to the designs of the robot masters, and even Mega Man 7 started to push in that direction, but they still kind of matched. The robot masters in 8 don't match at all. They just don't fucking work. And then there's the music. There's a handful of like Clown Man stage, the PlayStation version of Tengu Man stage, and the intro stage have good music. All the rest of it is that weird fucking lounge music that Capcom was obsessed with around this time. Like the soundtrack to Marvel vs. Capcom 2, you know? Like all that weird loungy sounding music. There's genuinely bad music all over this game. And that's you don't do that to a Mega Man game. You don't fuck with terrible robot master designs, and you don't fuck with the music. And this game got them both wrong. And just those, the voices. God, the voices. You blow up Grenade Man, and he goes, that felt good. Like, oh, fuck. Why? Stop
well,
that.
Well, and this, I believe, was the first, proper Mega Man game that did not have Inafune as the director. He was a producer on this one. So, most of the duties of designing the game was handed off to someone else. or were handed off to someone else. So, you know, and it shows.
It does. There were some cool ideas in it, like the shooter levels where you would like get on Rush Jet and it would turn into a scrolling shooter.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
That's kind of neat. You know, the stages where you're like sliding on something, and like this sledding on something or skiing on something, you have to, you know, dodge and jump. That was a neat enough idea. It could have been executed a little bit better. Those parts could have been slower. But after, I don't understand why Mega Man 7 gets a lot of the hate that it does. Because one of the cool things about the Mega Man design, like the original Mega Man design on the NES, is that sprite never changed through all six NES games and all five Game Boy games. He was that same, like, just completely dead-stared, soulless creature.
He was, and, you know, a robot.
Exactly. In Mega Man 7, they kind of continued that. Like, that sprite looked 16-bit. It looked naturally fit with the art style, but he still had that scowl on his face the whole time. He's still, like, you know, big open mouth when he jumped and whatnot. And then Mega Man 8 kind of made him a little thinner and over-animated, and it just didn't feel right. And then you get the brilliant Smash Brothers design of him, which he's just a completely dead, soulless, unfeeling machine, which I love. I fucking love the Smash Brothers design. But I don't know. Mega Man 7 introduced a lot of great ideas with, like, you know, using the Robot Master's powers to alter stages. Like, you use Turbo Man's flames to burn down the trees, and you can get Proto Man's shield. And it was like, it started to be more complex, but still fitting within. It still felt very distinctly Mega Man, and Mega Man 8 just doesn't feel like that to me. It's got good points. It's not a terrible game, but it is not one that I go back to and play often.
Well, let's have a moment of real talk real quick. So, Mega Man X, which I understand, different genre, but still, we got a 1993 that came out. And then you have Mega Man 8, 96. So, you got all this crazy-ass butt-rock music going on, and then you get lounge music. Did like, they just sign on a bunch of jazz musicians, and they were like, yeah, this is cool. I like this.
Just do this.
It's chill as fuck. Yeah, just keep
just
it like
do this.
This
for everything. I want to take you for a ride.
That happened in 3 years? Like, stop. Where did all, like, I'm going to grip the edge of my seat and rip fucking cushioning out of it. It's so intense. Go. That's what I want.
Listen to the soundtrack of Street Fighter Alpha.
Oh, yep, like, nope, yeah, okay.
The first Street Fighter have lots of smooth jazz saxophones. Capcom was just really, really into that music style at this point in time, and it was a dark time.
I remember I bought that game. I bought Street Fighter, and Guile wasn't in it, but Charlie was, and I was like, all right, I'm going to get gonna get my Guile on, because that was my fucking song, man. That was America. And then I turn it on, and I get like, boo-doop, 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 boo-doop. And I'm like, what? What is this? Why? Why are we doing this? You're hurting my ears. And I turned it off, and I didn't want to play for a while. Even though it was a mechanically sound game, it just upset me. Just the music was shitty. Ah.
Yeah, that's a lot of how I felt about Mega Man 8 was just, you know, and that was the thing. Like, the first stage I played was Tengu Man stage, and Tengu Man stage had a really catchy tune. And then the second stage I played was Astro Man, and it was just nothing. It was just no nothing sound. It was just bad. And the same, I feel similarly about Mega Man and Bass, although I think Mega Man Bass is a slightly better game because it doesn't have all the shitty voices and whatnot. But yeah. I give a big boo to Mega Man 8.
It makes you really appreciate some of the decisions that are made when it's like, no, we're not going to do voice acting. Like, all right.
Yeah.
Cool. I get it. Thank you for not doing that. Cause
maybe this character doesn't need a voice, you know?
Well, because, like, he should have a robot voice, technically. He's, you know, a robot.
You could do something. I mean, geez, the friggin' Ruby Spears cartoon had a better voice.
Fucking muddy robot.
Just
Man!
Just to let you know, if you wanted to get a brand new factory sealed copy of Mega Man 8, you could head on over to Amazon and for the low price of $100. You could be all
sign me the fuck up
over that shit.
You know, I had a gift card for $100. I think I found out what I'm going to spend it on now.
Yeah, and never open it. Just look at it and appreciate its value. Mm-hmm. I've actually been looking for my copy of this game was stolen from me a long time ago. And I had a first print copy of it, which came with a little anniversary art book, which was adorable. And I've just been looking for that anniversary art book ever since.
I might have it. If I have it, you can have it.
Oh, you beautiful bastard.
I'm not saying I'm not saying I do have it. I'm saying I might have it.
I'm not saying I have it. I'm definitely not saying I like you. But
but you can have it.
All right, Dean. Let's close out this Mega Man Hate Fest. What do you got for us? I believe yours is the worst offender, by the way.
All right. So once upon a time, back in the yesteryears of my high school days, there's a little game called Mega Man Battle Network.
Ugh.
And I played it, and it was good. That's not the game I'm talking about.
I like that.
Because it was a good game. Even though it was a little light on the story, and yeah, whatever. You know, I'm willing to forgive. Because it was different, and it wasn't in the Mega Man universe, so whatever. Fine.
Yeah, it was a neat idea.
Yeah, it was. And then they took it, and they were like, what if we mixed Punch-Out View with the Mega Man gameplay, and we made that into a game? And that's what happened. They literally made, like, some weird over-the-arm, third-person, on-the-grid, 3x5 fucking weird shooter called Mega Man Star Force.
Wasn't it all, like, in space, too?
Did
they just thought everything in space?
Not even done. Not even done yet. So, let's just say, even if the gameplay was okay, and I'm using that term very lightly, we still have the problem of that you're, like, the people in this game are essentially, like, programs, which kind of hauls over from Battle Network, which, all right, you're recycling shit, whatever. But then you're saying there's aliens in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, no, where are the robots? You're calling this Mega Man. Where are the robots? There are no robots.
Nope.
Everything's just programs and aliens and programs. And we're going to have some aliens with your programs, but no robots. Fuck your robots. We threw them out. You're going to get aliens. You know what I don't like with Mega Man?
Aliens?
Fucking aliens! Anyway, even if I did forgive that, which I don't, I get on to the story a little bit because I did some research because I'm like, I'm a little, iffy on what the fuck happened. So it starts out with this kid and he lost his father in a spaceship disappearance.
Sure.
Space station disappearance. An entire space station disappeared. And he's really sad and he doesn't go to school. And I'm like, all right, how long's it been? Like a month? You know, a few weeks? Months? It's been 3 years. He hasn't gone to school for 3 years. Where the fuck does he go for 3 years that it's okay that everyone's just like, you should probably go to school, but no one's going to force you. You know what would happen if you didn't go to school for 3 years? You'd get sent to, like, fucking juvie or something because you're delinquent at that point. You need to go to school when you're a kid. That's a thing you do.
No, I think
but
it's
in Mega
okay.
Mega Man world, it's okay.
I think it's okay in Alabama.
Is it?
I think so.
Well, we're not in Alabama. This is Mega Man world.
I think it's encouraged.
Well, Mega Man doesn't... Well, Alabama doesn't have Mega Man programs or aliens, so...
You don't know. Have you ever been?
No, I haven't.
That's right.
The uniform
I don't. I don't plan to go to Sweet Home Alabama either. That's not where I want to be. but it's just... There is so much wrong with this game. Like, they had Battle Network, which, while it was beginning to get a little stale, it was still a good formula. They could have done more with it to make it fresh again, but instead of trying to do something new, they just said, no, we're going to use the same thing, the same exact gameplay, but we're just going to change the view, and it'll be like a new game. No, that's not a new game. You're not doing anything fresh. You literally kept the chips... And the fucking, like, even the general design is pretty close. The only thing they did different was give him a goddamn visor.
Well, the
you know
visor
what happens when
dope.
You give fucking heroes visors? They become douchebags.
And they can tell what other people's power levels are.
it's not even that type of visor. He didn't even get to tell what fucking power levels there were. There was no over 9,000 in this game. If there was, I might have hated it a bit less.
You know who else has a visor? Axel.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Vegeta. Yeah, because Axel, again, douchebag, you know? It runs in the Mega Man family. If you have a visor, you're probably a douche. Violet Advisor, he's kind of a douche.
Didn't this franchise or like series, didn't this continue like
a long time?
And a ridiculously long time.
And this was this is the one where they started releasing three of each game.
Yeah, the first one was three. It was Leo, Dragon, and
Bullshit.
Yes, Bullshit. That was the last one. It had a gigantic pile of shit right on the cover. It was holographic, in fact. I remember.
Out fucking
Yeah, you know, just have either of you guys actually looked at this game?
I've seen screenshots of it. I did not care for the Battle Network stuff. So like this is just completely outside of my my Mega Man purview, as it were.
Now I can understand. Go ahead, Chris.
I liked the first Battle Network game. Like I liked it enough. It was really close to a GBA launch game, if I remember correctly. Yeah. And I thought it was pretty clever, and then they annualized it basically, and they just kept going and going, and so I fell off. And by the time Star Force happened, I was like, you gotta be fucking kidding me. What the hell is this shit? Everything's all spiky and it's in space and like no. So yeah, I saw screenshots of it, maybe a trailer, and I was just like, I'm out. I'm so far out of this.
They lost so much focus on, you know, what the original stuff was. And I mean, by original, you can even go back to Battle Network, because that had hints of calling back to Mega Man in it. There was a Gutsman type character. Not even a type. There was literally a Gutsman character, and that's what made it cool, was that it still was like, all right, this is a new game, but we're still going to respect where we came from. And it was neat to see that type of stuff go on. And, I mean, the gameplay wasn't bad. It was different, and I can understand why Dan didn't like it. But, you know, they were trying something new, and you can't hate them for that. Now, you know, might have been fucking almost 10 years later, they come out with this steaming pile of shit. And what are you doing? What the fuck are you doing, man? Like, you need to cut the shit. That is absolutely insane. And on top of that, you're trying to squeeze money out of people by releasing three separate fucking copies? This isn't Pokemon. Yeah, you don't run the game. Yeah,
that's some old bullshit.
You're not Pokemon. You can't pull that off. And Pokemon only does two and the occasional third. These guys were like three straight out of the gate. Maybe we'll do a fourth one just to make you do it again. Like, didn't they do that with, like, there was the three GBA games, and they made a fourth DS one at one point that was just all the other GBA games squished together into one or some horse shit like that.
I believe you are correct.
It's just
what a bunch of
just
malarkey.
A money grab if there ever was one. And it's a shame because, like, Mega Man as a franchise, it's not broken. The core Mega Man gameplay, 8 Robot Masters, different power from each one. Some of them are ridiculous. That's fine. Sheep Man is fucking dope, though. Like, it's not... You don't need to fuck with it. It's cool. Just do that thing.
I feel like what happened with Capcom was they're like, well, no, Mega Man doesn't work anymore. People don't want that. No, people don't want the shit you were trying to shove down their throat for fucking years and years before. Original Mega Man works fine, and I mean, they should have seen that when 9 and 10 went on, you know, the fucking marketplace, and they sold absolutely fine. Hell, they probably sold better than goddamn Star Force ever did.
Mm-hmm.
Rant done. I'm fucking done with douchebag, star, fuck, whatever.
Can I throw out a question before we go to break? Top of your head. All right, Dean, I'll let you go first. Worst Mega Man weapon power-up.
Oh, shit.
I know mine.
Oh, most of them are like, the fucking, the little springy guy, little spring thing.
Springman,
yeah.
Okay.
That's pretty shitty.
Chris?
I dug Springman's power. Worst power? I mean, I gotta go with fucking Topspin.
Really?
I thought that was cool.
I mean, it's... it kills it. All right, here's the problem with fucking Top Spin. It's the only thing that kills the last boss, which, you know, hooray mm-hmm. for that. But if you hit it at the wrong angle, you'll use the entire weapon stash in one mm-hmm. spin. Like, sometimes it'll take two away, sometimes it'll take the whole fucking thing away. And besides Shadow Man and the last boss, it's fucking useless.
Yeah, it's pretty terrible. Not the worst, though. Yeah. The worst Mega Man power-up, because there is a correct answer here, is Guts Man. Power yeah. Arm, or Super Arm, or whatever the fuck it's called. Super Arm.
Super Arm, I
believe. Useless.
Yeah. Just about. I mean, sure. Again, shit. This is another one of those situations. It kills Cutman in great. Two hits, which is great, but, you know.
He's not that hard.
It's Yeah, he's not that tough to do without it. And all you need to do is get those fucking blocks out of the way. And when you get Elec-Man's power, it becomes completely useless because Elec-Man's power destroys yep. those blocks.
And on top of that, the only blocks that you can pick up, there's like two per stage. And when you have that power equipped, you don't have a megabyte. Like, you're fucking utterly defenseless. Or offensive.
If they ever make a Mega Man cartoon, I want Rampage Jackson as Mr. T to do the Guts Man voice.
That would be awesome. That was what was interesting about what you just said was in Mega Man Powered Up, if you beat the bosses by using your Mega Buster and not using secret weapons, you don't blow them up, and then you get to take them back to Dr. Light, who reprograms them, and then they become playable characters. And playing through that game as Guts Man is really freaking yeah. hard, because he has no projectile weapon. He has, you know, pick up and throw things. He's a fucking construction right. robot, which I like that so much about that game. And that character design is, you know, weaponizing him is like a very specialized thing. Like, he's pretty badass in that cave where he can keep dropping giant boulders on your head, but you take him anywhere else, he's kind of
yeah,
useless.
Really. Like, if he shit steel girders at you, like, that might be a thing. but he does not. He does not.
That's Anal Girder Man.
Oh, that was one of the canceled Robot Masters.
Games.
I believe. It was in the DOS game. It yeah. was in the Mega Man 2 DOS game.
Ugh. Oil Man was pretty sick in that game.
You really should have gone with Oil Man was pretty slick. That was.
I was going. You know what? As I said, sick. I was like, damn it, mistake.
I like the really racist Oil Man that they eventually put in Mega Man Power Up.
Yeah, that's pretty damn good. All right, on with the break.
Well, don't worry, everybody. We're gonna cheer things up next week when we talk about good Mega Man games. But for now, we're gonna take ourselves a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about a few interesting things that have come up in the news. So stick around. And now here's a look at some of the other original content available right now at Geekade.com.
Wrestling and killer robots. The two have gone hand in hand for generations. I know some of my best memories include grabbing a cup of hot cocoa, gathering with the family by a warm fire, and watching killer robots go at it in the squared circle. But you know what's always been missing? A video game connection. Fredo from the Tiger Driver 91 podcast clearly feels the same way, and as part of Geekade's Mega Man Month, has teamed up Mega Man Robot Masters with real-life professional wrestlers for the ultimate tag team pairs. Head on over to the Think Tank and check out World's Lockup, Mega Man X, fuck, Mega Man Cross Pro Wrestling. Damn it.
So glad you said that right.
I was doing so well.
Mega Man X Pro Wrestling.
That was pretty flawless.
Oh, shit.
You know what? Mega Man X Pro Wrestling? I'd play the shit
I would
out
too.
Of
it.
Would
I. That so makes would more I. sense than soccer. I like the
Dude,
soccer one.
Dude, I would just
one,
pick
but...
Flame Mammoth, be the end of the game all the time.
Fucking dope.
That bitch is fat.
Flame Mammoth with Yokozuna's Bonsai Drop?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Good shit.
GG.
I see, now I'm thinking like Mega Man X, you know, fighting pro wrestlers, so I'm like Flame Mammoth versus Andre the Giant.
Well, I think all the robots would win since they're, you know, robots.
Well, all the pro wrestlers have cybernetic upgrades, Steve.
Well, absolutely.
If there's a Macho Man Randy Savage one, I'm in. I'm fucking
cyber
in.
Macho Man Randy Savage.
Oh.
He's got a laser out.
Oh, right, man. Ooh, yeah, gonna get you, Mega Man. Gonna rip you in half. Okay. All right. I'm done. With Mega Man Month in full swing, there's been a lot of pointing out how awesome Mega Man is. But did you know Mega Man hasn't always been so mega? In fact, there have been some flat-out terrible incarnations of the Blue Bomber. Some of them weren't even blue. Damn, that's terrible. Pink, purple, orange, magenta, chartreuse? That sucks. Do you want to know what Robot Masters would look like if they were drawn by kindergartners? No. How about if Mega Man was a bog fat guy with a gun? I hope that means bald, but we'll go with bog. Maybe it's Wade Boggs.
Go with big, big fat
guy. No, Wade Boggs. What if Mega Man was Wade Boggs with a gun? That'd be terrifying because that's really close to the truth because Wade Boggs was a scary man. Yeah. Or perhaps a member of the Lollipop Guild. Well, all right. Yeah, sure. Check out Not So Mega over in the Think Tank and see some terrible things you can never unsee. Dude, I'm so down. I'm going to go look at the Think Tank right now.
You know what? I used that Lollipop Guild joke twice in this episode, and it's not in the article.
Nice.
I'm awesome. Let's see. Wow. I did not think this through because I'm now going to read an advertisement for last week's episode of the show. I didn't think this through.
Talk about the fact that Kenny Omega retweeted my article about Kenny Omega.
Yeah, Why I Love Wrestling. Dan, he wrote an article about Kenny Omega and he retweeted it and it was awesome. You should totally read Why I Love Wrestling, Kenny Omega. And there's like a Mega Man connection in there, which I still don't understand. I know you've explained it. It's got something to do with a gun club.
No, not the Bullet Club has nothing to do with Mega Man.
Bullet Club.
Kenny Omega's Twitter handle is Kenny Omega Man X.
Okay, I got that one. But what was the one before it? Was
Bullet
it
like Club, the Club and Pew Pew Bullets.
Wade Boggs Gun Club?
Okay, got it. Wade Boggs. Check out Wade Boggs Young Gun Club.
Regulators. Oh, shit. Charlie Sheen has AIDS. It really, like, I don't know if it's just me, but it really fucks up, like, whenever I catch a rerun of, like, 2.5 Men. I'm like, why is that dude trying to give all these women HIV? That's fucked up. Somebody should stop him. Anyway. Apathetic enthusiasm is all new this week with a discussion everyone should hear. It's a topic that some may feel too ashamed to talk openly about. An issue that's plagued the youth of this country for decades and is only now starting to see the light of conversation. I'm talking, of course, about licensed video games. Grab your children and let Brandon and Travis lay out the facts for them. Then stick around for some lighter fare dealing with Rick and Morty's new game and Big Trouble in Little China. Don't miss a very special episode of Apathetic Enthusiasm, Rick Trouble in Pocket Morty's.
I played a little bit of Pocket Morty's. That game is the shit.
So I've heard. You can catch all this great stuff plus tons of other articles, videos, podcasts, and more right now at Geekade.com. And we are back, ladies and gentlemen. We're still here. We didn't actually go anywhere. We just read some commercials very poorly and amusingly. So we're going to talk about some things in the news. First up, John Romero released a new Doom level out of fucking nowhere. It's his first new stage in 21 years, and when I say a new Doom level, I mean fucking Doom, not Doom 3 or fancy schmancy new stuff like two-dimensional sprites and, you know, all sorts of rudimentary polygons and shit. And he threw it up on like Dropbox or something for people to download, and it's probably some kind of promotional thing for something new he's working on, but yeah. How do you guys feel about that?
I saw it. I saw gameplay. I watched the entire 18 minutes of the level, and let me tell you, it looks like Doom. Like, I don't know what else to say. It looks like a Doom level. Good for him. I'm sure he did that.
Fucking loved Doom.
Yeah,
I fucking love the original
it's
Doom.
It's great. However, it's just all right. Doom is great, but fact of the matter is, like, when you look at it now, it's just Doom. Like, it looks the same almost every level. Like, it's either fucking really pixelated, supposed to be like stomach lining walls, or the inside of some creepy ass monolith walls, or like the inside of a fucking army base. There's not much going on.
Yeah, there was like 4 texture options.
He used them all. He used them all, and he did his best. He certainly made a Doom level, and it is a Doom level.
That is a thing he accomplished. Well done, John Romero.
Yes, indeed. He probably did it on like an afternoon or something like that. Just because why not? That story just cracks me the fuck up. Are either of you guys going to download it and play it? Obviously not you, Dean.
Well, who's the other guy? Because you said, are either of you guys?
I was, and then I changed my mind. Yeah. All right.
No, I'm not going to play it.
Next new story. Yeah, I mean, I'd play it, but I don't think it'll work on my Mac. Or maybe it will. Who the fuck knows? I don't know. I haven't played the original Doom in a while. Fucking really want to, though.
Do it, Chris. Fucking do it.
Do it right after the show.
Do it, Doug.
All right. Next news story. And this was brought to my attention by a listener, Anthony Hom. So thank you for that. Retron 5 is apparently getting Game Gear support via an adapter. Yay. I'm jazzed
end
about
of next
it.
Year, right?
Because
it
was supposed to be the end of last year, and they've just been kind of silent about it. They talked about it at last year's E3, but they haven't really talked about it since, which is kind of weird. But I would buy it because I have a Retron 5, and I have a bunch of Game Gear games that I would like to play because most of my Game Gears don't really work too well anymore. The screens are, like, they're all rotted out and shit, and I tried playing a Game Gear Mega Man about a year or two ago, and I couldn't get very far, mostly because the game's shit, but it was also really hard to see what little of the screen I could see while I was playing it, because I was playing on a Game Gear, and I've been looking into, like, getting it retrofitted with an LCD, which is, this look really nice, but this would solve that problem entirely. I could just play it on my TV, because it's not like I'm going to load up a backpack full of AA batteries and take my Game Gear on the road.
I think it's cool. I enjoy playing portable games up on the television. It's fun.
Yeah, me too. I loved the Super Game Boy, and I always wanted something like that for Game Gear, because, you know, there's a handful of games, like the Sonic the Hedgehog Game Gear game's pretty cool. There's, you know, there's a unique Shinobi title on it, a unique Fantasy Zone. There's some cool shit on the Game Gear, and, you know, that's kind of stuck exactly where it is. So here's hoping. One of the things that was interesting about it was that when the guy was talking about it, the guy from Hyperkin was talking about it, he's like, as long as we can get the right connectors made and it's not too powerful for the Retron to handle, we could theoretically emulate most things. So, I mean, shit, if there's a TurboGrafx adapter one of these days, that would be fucking sweet.
That would be very, very cool.
The thing with Hyperkin, which I feel is their biggest downfall, is it seems like they come up with a lot of these ideas, like, while they're high or something, and then they're like, yeah, we're totally going to do it. We're going to put this out to the public. Let's fucking do it, guys. And then they get it out there, and they get, like, a lot of crowd, like, excitement and shit, and then they're like, fuck, this is hard. Like, why did we say we were going to get it out this year, guys? That was dumb of us.
We should have waited till we were, like, ready.
They have a large habit of biting off more than they can chew, and I appreciate their enthusiasm for trying to, you know, get new shit out there like this, because, you know, like you said, Chris, you know, your Game Gear isn't working, and you're not the only person out there where the shit is just shriveling up and, you know, it's going south. So if they can make an adapter like that, it's great. But the problem is, they're like, yeah, we're gonna do it soon.
Someday, maybe.
It'll happen.
They remind me a lot of Atari in the 70s, except without the fucking follow-through.
No. That's true.
Because everybody Atari in the 70s was all coked up and, you know, drug-addled and whatnot. And they were just having a blast. But they also made a product. Like, they got that shit out there. And the Hyperkin folks are, like, all ideas. And, geez, remember how long it took to get the Retron 5?
Oh, man. Like, that was a thought it took forever. So long. And, I mean, now they're working on that fucking Game Boy iPhone thing that was supposed to be a joke. And then people are like, no, we want this. And now they're like, well, oh, fuck. Now what do we do?
Oh, Christ. All right, next story. Shadow Moses, a fan game, which is a Metal Gear Solid 1, the original Metal Gear Solid, remade with Unreal Engine. The first trailer for that went up a couple of days ago. Looking pretty neat. Probably going to get the shit canceled out of it as soon as Konami catches wind of it. But have you guys seen this?
I have, and I remember a few months ago we were talking about another game like this. Not done with the Unreal Engine, but done as a high-res remake of the original game. And Konami put the kibosh on it. I feel like that's what's going to happen here, unfortunately. I would love to see it. I would absolutely love to see that. I'll pay money for it even, but unfortunately, I don't think it's going to make it.
Yeah, I see, and I don't even see it as a problem with Konami. Like, the problem with a lot of these fan-made projects is that, I mean, you have one or two people trying to develop a game that took hundreds of people, you know, to make. And it's eventually the shit just peters out, and I can't blame them for it, you know, but...
Yeah, talk about biting off more than
yeah.
Guys, I think
it's a lot of work.
I think we're gonna call this from now on, Hyperkin Syndrome.
No, there you go. I like it.
What the fuck is my cat doing?
Suffering from Hyperkin Syndrome.
That bitch.
I swear, she's in there with the cat box, but she's batting something around in there.
Poop.
Is it your son?
No.
That would be.
Oh God, I hope not.
No, he's asleep. She's. I don't know. She's just, I don't know.
No, he's buried in the cat box and she's beating him, booping him on the nose.
My kid could totally take that cat. No questions asked. Anyway, all right, next story. Minecraft Education Edition.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Using Minecraft as a teaching tool. There was a group called Minecraft EDU that was doing this for a little while, and Microsoft is officially making a product that makes all the education aspects of Minecraft more accessible so that it can be used in the classroom. I'm a little torn on this particular topic. I kind of waffle a little bit back and forth.
State while you're waffing.
All right, so the first part of it is like, hey, video games in the classroom, that's kind of neat. And then the other side of it is like, video games in the classroom, huh? Edutainment never really worked out all that great for me in the past. Like, you know, Math Blaster was all right when I was a kid, but, you know, Mario Teaches Typing? I don't know. I mean, I could see the potential in something like Minecraft, you know, utilizing that game world and putting a controller in kids' hands and saying, now let's use this to help you learn math. And there were a few things in that I really liked about using the individual bits as like a way of teaching the most basic of basic programming to kids, like so that they can understand kind of the inner workings of the way computers work. I thought that was a really neat application, but I just don't know about I just don't know about it because, you know, how do you stop the kids from just playing Minecraft in school? You know what I mean? Like, are we going to get Minecraft classes out of this? Like, it's just, I don't know. I struggle with this a lot with my own kid. Like, how much he asks me to play video games all the time. And I don't want him constantly looking at screens because my little dude likes playing with blocks and shit. And I want to encourage that as often as I can, as much as I like it when he says, Daddy, play Yoshi. Because he fucking loves Yoshi's Epic Yarn. Yoshi's Woolly World at the moment. So, I don't know. This is one of those weird things where my incredible love of video games is kind of batting against my head as a parent. And I don't know. What do you guys think of this?
I think it has its place. It's, I guess, utilized properly. You know, trying to teach kids maybe geometry in a more sort of, or shapes rather. You know, in a 3D world and environment where you could literally like build them in front of things, or even you know trying to teach kids like basic architecture of like you know, trying to show them exactly an easy way. Where, like, supports would go and things to, like, I don't know, do stuff like that? Yeah, sure, why not? Do I think you should just let kids on this to learn by themselves? Absolutely not. It's a demonstration tool, but I don't think it would be something where you should have an entire class where kids are just playing on it. It's probably not going to work that way, as you stated.
Well, and it really depends on the program itself, because just basic Minecraft in and of itself has... there is the possibility of there being an educational benefit within that game, but this is not something where, unfortunately, what tends to happen with the school system is that somebody has an idea and they try it somewhere and it works relatively well, and then the rest of the country goes, bah, fuck, let's do that too. And they have none of the connection to what it is that made the thing work in the first place. And like, I think back to some of the teachers that I had, and if they were just told, mandated, you know, here's a tool that we are going to use because, God damn it, the kids like Minecraft and you're going to use Minecraft to teach this. None of my teachers would have known what the fuck to do with it. And that's often the problem with introducing technology into education, is that you're giving teachers a tool to use and they don't know how to use it. And what then happens is that it just devolves into the kids are just playing Minecraft, which is just a waste of time. You know, so whatever is going to be done with it needs to be very, very explicitly taught, because the nature of Minecraft, the fact that you can kind of build and do anything you want. Like, I know if I were a high school kid and I was given Minecraft today, first thing I would do is build a giant dick just because I could. Be like, look, I'm building a dick in school. Maybe that's just me. I don't think it is, though.
No, I don't think it is either. Well, it's an interesting conversation, and I'm very curious to see where this goes. But all right, let's move on to our next topic, which this one makes me mad. Sony is trying to trademark the term Let's Play so that they can control Let's Play videos.
There's no way that's going to go through.
There's no way it's going to go through, and it's kind of a dick move on Sony's part, but every major company does this shit. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Every major company does the, we're going to, you know, it was like the King a while ago
wanted to do candy.
Like,
fuck you.
Sure, but everybody tries to do it. You know, everybody tries to do it. I'm sure Microsoft has tried to trademark their own shit. Like, you know, fucking name something. I'm sure they've tried to put a trademark claim on it. Because they're for-profit companies. Why wouldn't they?
Well, I tell you guys that for the Robot Nightmare stuff we do, I have gotten, like, every time we put one up and I forget to take off the little, like, monetization thing, it goes nuts because Nintendo's like, no, you can't do that. Our music is there. That's our video game. Don't touch it. That's our money. And I'm just like, all right, fine. Jesus, fucking back
They're
off,
all
man.
Like, yeah, sure. Go ahead and post it. We're going to advertise on it and we're going to make money off of it. And if you even fucking think about making a cent off of this video, we will come to your house. We will rape your pets and we will take all of your money in that order.
Yeah, I mean, fucking, I love Nintendo, but that's some hardcore businessmanship there.
Well, but they're a business.
Exactly.
I mean,
business. They don't.
At the end of the day,
they're a business.
You know, these guys are, you know, they're trying to make their money and make as much money as they can.
Pikmin and Mario and Kirby and bitch, where's my fucking money?
That's right. So what did they? I was just watching an episode of Party Down with a J.K. Simmons character, and he was talking about he was calling Disney Mousewicks.
Mousewicks.
That's it. Yeah, that shit was great.
That's funny.
All right, last story of the night. Nintendo NX may work with the PlayStation 4. The Wall Street Journal's Takahashi Mochizuki, I'm so good at
you
those
really
names,
are.
Tweeted, and this is a quote, this was his tweet, very interesting report by Gibo Game, who is a Dave Gibson, who's a video game insider dude. Nintendo's NX may work with smartphones, PCs, and even rival consoles such as PlayStation 4, which is pretty interesting to me. This Nintendo NX is just such a big friggin' question mark. Like, I have no idea what the fuck it is. What do you guys think this could mean?
So some guy said from Wall Street that some dude said from something else that he knows a guy that says this is going to work with other systems, possibly.
This was coming from I believe the David Gibson guy was translating an interview with Famitsu that Nintendo had done. Like, he was there, he was present for the interview.
Interesting.
So supposedly fairly first-hand knowledge, but there really isn't there isn't anything solid. But there's a lot of talk going on around about NX right now. Like, Nintendo is definitely having meetings about it with people, and there's some sort of talk going around because there's been a lot of pseudo information leaked in the last 24 hours. So.
I gotta say it's not particularly plausible, but I mean, I guess anything can happen.
Well, like, this is the way that it's worded, though, is may work with. So it's not saying that it's, like, it's playing PlayStation 4 games or it's playing games on the PlayStation 4. It's just saying that it will work with it.
Maybe, like, it'll the Bluetooth controller will, you know, sync up with it or something. That's what I could see.
There will be,
like,
yeah, maybe some kind of
support.
Yeah, maybe some kind of coexisting compatibility or something. I don't know. It's freaking fascinating to me.
I would not be surprised at all if Nintendo just came out and they were like, "Map multi-platform now. That's what we do." Because that, why the fuck wouldn't they at this point?
Pride.
Stubborn fucking Nintendo pride.
Stubborn fucking pride. Yeah. Like, that's why they announced the NX when they did. Like, they went out there to, when they announced that they were getting involved in smartphones, the literal only purpose of saying Nintendo NX out loud was to tell the shareholders, we are not getting out of the hardware game. We are still doing this. And it's from a business standpoint, it seems to me to make a certain level of sense to just go third party. Like, I will always want to own a Nintendo console. Like, I like the weird idiosyncrasies of a Nintendo console. I like the way they design controllers. I like the way they design their backwards fucking interfaces. I like the charm of those kinds of consoles. But when you get right down to it, like, Microsoft and Sony aren't solely game system developers. They're just technology companies. And Nintendo's best stuff is always, like, fancy, crazy-ass ideas. Now, granted, a lot of that stuff is inextricably tied to their hardware, but I kind of feel like the timeless nature of the kinds of games that they make would work better on a platform that's just so much more open. You know what I mean? Like, I think about some, like, I have some really, really great Wii U games, like games I legitimately love on Wii U, like my game of the year, Super Mario Maker. I will never be able to play that on something that's not Wii U unless it has some sort of compatibility with a touchscreen. Right. Because the game was designed around a dual-screened experience. And so it's not very future-proofed unless that second-screen experience is going to be something that exists throughout the ages. Now, granted, tablets are a thing that exists, so there will always be some level of possible portability to it. But, I mean, look back to something like Wild Gunman or even Duck Hunt on the Wii U Virtual Console. Pointing your Wii remote at the screen and pulling the trigger is not the same as using a zapper gun.
No, it certainly isn't.
There's always going to be a certain level of that, you know, stuff that's tied very specifically to other things. And I guess Duck Hunt isn't really the greatest example because, like, who knew back in the 80s that TVs would be intrinsically different 30 years down the road. But I guess the point that I'm getting at is that, yeah, I would love to see Nintendo stuff kind of, maybe in some sort of exclusive partnership, you know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't necessarily want to see them go the exact route of Sega, but I kind of feel like there's an awful lot of money to be made by putting their IPs on other people's consoles and then letting them come up with the gimmick or whatever for a kind of console and then seeing what Nintendo's minds can apply to those other people's ideas. Like, the kind of shit that Nintendo development could get out of something like a PlayStation 4 would be pretty incredible, because you know they would approach it the way that they approach making games, and they would look and play totally different than anything else on the system. You know what I mean?
No, I'm with you. I think it'd be a great idea. I want Zelda on my PlayStation.
I think why some of these games work is because they're on, you know, well, just some of the titles in general, because, you know, when you think of Nintendo, you think about more lighthearted games, that the type of stuff that they do. I mean, Smash Brothers would have very stark competition on a PS4 or an Xbox when you're going directly up against Street Fighter and other games. Granted, they're two different games, but if you're going to put them out at the same time on the same system, that's a rougher market that you're going up to fight against. I mean, Splatoon's the same thing. You know, you're going to get Call of Duty or you're going to get Splatoon. When they're on the same system, that's a tough fucking call, man. I mean,
It is, but it isn't, because like that's filling a void that is literally filling a void that these companies aren't filling. If it's holiday season and your 6-year-old says they want Call of Duty, and you're a parent and you're like, I'm not fucking getting Call of Duty. And then somebody behind the counter says, well, what about Splatoon? It's a similar kind of experience, but it's family friendly. I mean, it all would just come down to the right kind of marketing. I mean, launching Smash Brothers on any console, I think, is going to do just fine. Like, if you're putting Smash Brothers next to Street Fighter, Smash Brothers is going to do fucking fine. Because Smash Brothers has all of those characters in it. Street Fighter is Street Fighter. That's going to talk to the Street Fighter crowd. Smash Brothers is going to talk to the Nintendo crowd. You know what I mean? There's just such a huge audience for something
like
that.
I get you, but I just think, like... To be honest, I'm sure I'm not the only person where, you know, if it was on the same system that I could get other games on, I probably wouldn't pick this stuff up, because what you said about Call of Duty, like, the kids can't play Call of Duty, so they're going to get Splatoon. For me, like, the reason I got Splatoon was because it was on the Wii U, it was an exclusive, and granted, it's a cool game, but if it was between, you know, Splatoon and Call of Duty, which, I mean, I don't like fucking Call of Duty, I wouldn't buy it anyway, but if I was into shooters, I probably would buy Call of Duty instead of that. I do see your point, though. I just think it would be a smaller market share than what they're at right now, possibly.
But then think about what Splatoon would have been on the PlayStation 4. Because first off, Splatoon probably would have sold even better on the PlayStation 4 because it has a considerably larger install base. Plus, the PlayStation 4 has that built-in online infrastructure. So voice chat, all the weird matchmaking things, all that stuff that Nintendo struggled with Splatoon wouldn't have been a problem, because all those problems are already solved on the PlayStation. They wouldn't have to necessarily think about that. They could take the tools that already exist and then install them right into the game.
All right. I'm picking up what you're putting down.
All right. Well done, Chris. Well done. Good argument.
The more I think about it, the more I think it's just such a fantastic idea.
Look, it's Nintendo's house, and we're just all living in it, and they're not going to give
true.
Up
they're,
till it's their last breath.
They're going to do their thing, and I'm going to love them for it till the very end. But if they put aside their pride, I would think that a lot of money could be made if they just start designing things. Just let somebody else handle that the hardware side of it and just go nuts. I would love to see the creativity that would come with that, but we probably never will in our lifetimes, because Nintendo is insane, and that's why I love them. But that's going to be our show. Once again, you can get in touch with us at mail@geekade.com, as well as all flavors of social media that we inhabit. You can like us on Facebook, find us on Instagram at Geekade, subscribe to our YouTube and Twitch channels for all our latest video content, and follow us on Twitter at @_Geekade. You can also find us individually on Twitter. I am available at Geekade Chris. That's Geekade KRIS. Dan is available
at Geekade Dan.
And Dean is available
at
@Vestlord. If you're interested in more information about anything we discussed tonight, be sure to check out the show notes. And while you're at it, you can also subscribe to this and any of our other wonderful podcasts on iTunes. Or if you're super nice, you can leave us a review, because any and all feedback is welcome and appreciated. Again, always remember to keep your eyes on Geekade.com, where we post something new every single day. We'll see you again right here in 1 week for the second part of our Mega Man celebration. We'll actually be talking about games we like in the Mega Man franchise. We're talking about some of our favorites. So thank you again for listening. On behalf of myself, Dan, and Dean, keep playing games. All month long, we've been celebrating the boob. The boob.
The boob bomber.
The boob.
Booby bomb.
Try that again.